Hello everyone, Nexa here with another Evolving RPG podcast. And today I am joined with Artemagnus, also known as Ray. Buck, also known as Brian. Greytome, also known as Tony. And Kirby, also known as Kurt. And for this panel discussion we're going to be having, we're going to be talking all things Gen Con 2017. Unless you've been living under a rock, Gen Con is a yearly convention, and this year it celebrates its 50th anniversary. So, we're just going to jump right into it. And the first question I have is actually going to be a tag team for both Artemagnus and Buck. And I want them to actually describe your first trip to Gen Con.
Do you want me to start, Ray?
Yeah, man, it's all you. Go ahead.
All right, so it was 1993. It was a Saturday night. Ray and I were at a concert. And on the way home, I turned to Ray. I'm like, hey, dude, you want to check out Gen Con? And he said, all right. So remember, I got home. I intended to go to sleep and pick him up at 4 in the morning. Or pick him up at 5, and then we would head out to Milwaukee. I didn't go to sleep. Still picked him up at 5, and drove to Milwaukee. And Ray was living in Chicago at the time I'm from and still live in Chicago. Milwaukee is a very different city. I was expecting it to be pretty busy, but it was pretty empty. It was pretty desolate. So for the first couple hours, we just kind of walked around. We didn't have anything to do because the convention wasn't open. Eventually, we got ourselves in, signed up. And I remember it being fun. The only thing I remember playing a game. I can't remember what game it was, but I remember one of the guys playing with us had a Star Trek uniform on and he had a Southern accent. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Like that's something you don't normally kind of put together. And then I remember on the way home, I was probably up for about 30 straight hours and I told Ray not to fall asleep. And before we got in the expressway, he was asleep. So I'm kind of glad I made it home alive.
We all are.
Yeah, that's... I am too, because I would have been asleep. Okay, so the way, that's pretty much how I remember it. There's a few things that are a little more clear to me. I remember that the convention center used to share it with the Civil War reenactors. And it was really weird because one side of the convention hall was being used by D&D, fantasy, some sci-fi, Star Trek stuff. And then you had like these... like Civil War, like reenactors. And I don't know if you've ever met these people, but they take their craft very seriously. It's not like a cosplay thing. Like a lot of these people think they died during the Civil War, or they think that they're like, should have served in the Civil War, or like should have thought that the South should have won. And so like, I just remember it being insane. Like just those two groups not getting along. And yeah, I remember actually him telling me to sleep, but of course I ignored him because that's usually what I do. Yeah. I just ignore
him. My friend.
and I went to sleep. Hey, you only live once, man. YOLO. All right.
And so just to go along with that, I went to Gen Con the year after that, which was 1994, but when they came back and they told that story to the gaming group, I remember right now, for everyone who knows, Artemagnus can tell a good story. I mean, you know, sometimes he might be embellishing a thing, but he has mastered the art of telling a good story. And I remember him saying that he went to this convention and he was role playing and he was like, he thought he was a golem. He wasn't sure what he was, but they were trying to break out of somewhere and thinking, wow, there's a convention where all the gamers go to? I was like, I gotta see this. I have to go for myself. So the following year, I think I went with, drawing a blank. I think his name was Steve or Khaldun and Buck's younger brother. I think we went and Oh, you went too? And yep. We've been going ever since. But it's just them coming back and telling the story. And then I do remember about the falling asleep part because I remember you also running out of gas. I don't know why I remember that for some strange reason.
I don't think I ran out of gas. That's actually never happened to me. Like I would remember that if...
Well, once again, Artur Magnus was telling me that story, and he does embellish a little bit. But
you know, I'll tell you what I really remember about '94 was Cal Dune not knowing what a zip code was.
I remember that too.
Remember that he didn't know. He had to ask Jack, who was like 14 at the time, what a zip code was because he had no idea what that was. Go on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
But I also want to say I do remember the gas thing. First of all, it wasn't that he ran out of gas. I believe he needed gas money for something, and we were short, and we couldn't find an ATM machine. He had enough gas. We were worried about it. I remember that was part of the story. But here's what I remember myself more pivotal, at least as a pivotal moment in my life, was that was the year that I joined the military. And that was like the last thing that I think I did with you guys in a long time. Like it was sad. I remember going to that, and then like you guys, like it became a tradition that I kind of missed out on until just lately, until what, 20 years later, I kind of rejoined that tradition. And from this point on, I'm never going to miss one till the day I die, period. And it's a big event for me. I plan for it. So yeah, I just remember that summer being like a crazy summer because that was the last time before I went and joined the military and did some crazy stuff from that point on.
Okay. And great, Tom, how about you? Can you describe your first trip to Gen Con?
Yeah, I can't. I'm trying to remember what year it was. I think this. I was several years after you started going, because you guys had gone several years by the time I kind of jumped in there and joined that. So I want to say it was 97 when I went. So I do remember it was up in Milwaukee, and it was the first time I actually ever been to Milwaukee too. And I was kind of thinking like it was going to be like downtown Chicago, very busy. A lot of people in Milwaukee, it's definitely a different pace of life. It's not as large of a city, but I do remember we stayed at one of the, we didn't have an actual hotel. We ended up staying at one of the dorms for one of the schools. I forget which one it was, one of the University of Michigan. I think it was University of Michigan at Milwaukee or University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, I think it was. And we were in the dorm and the dorms weren't air conditioned and it's August. And it's hot, and we're just kind of like trying to beat the heat as best we can. But you know, we're up late. We're just having a blast. You know, nobody cared that it was stifling in the room, but it was still a really good time. So I do remember that. And this first thing where it's like, okay, this whole convention is nothing but fantasy, Dungeons and Dragons, all these other games, and it's just it blew my mind. I'd never been anywhere like that before. The only other experience I had with that was like comic shops. Where I'd go in, and here was this whole expansive convention center dedicated to just this hobby that I really loved, and I was blown away. There was everything you could think of, all kinds of game systems. I remember just loading up and bringing stuff home. So it's just a great experience.
And Kirby, how about you? Describe your first trip.
I don't remember the year that I went. It might have been around 2003, but I know that it was one of the anniversaries of, I think, D&D. And I remember they had a gigantic, like, party on that Friday. And they had, they had food there, and they had music, and they had everything going on that. And I just remember that specifically because they were celebrating that. As far as... I kind of knew what I was getting into when I got into Gen Con, because I had heard when I was in college that some people had gone with that, were in groups I was in college playing D&D. And so I kind of knew what was going on, but when I got there, it was pretty amazing. Just seeing like all the different like cosplayers, which I know what they are now, but the term anyway, but all the people that were dressed up in costume, and everyone had like a good feeling about, wanting to be there and playing games and stuff like that. And it's weird because that time frame, I mean, a lot of this like nerd and geek and stuff with D&D and all this stuff that really wasn't mainstream like it kind of is today. And so being in that, being subjected or being immersed in that kind of situation where all of a sudden it becomes cool, it was kind of a different experience for me. So, but I really enjoyed it the first time I came there to Gen Con, and I had a good group that I was with, and we had all fun. We had like seven or eight people there, if I remember right. It was like the largest group that I'd ever been to Gen Con with too.
Actually, the group where we stayed in the dorm room was the largest group. The one that Gray Tom just mentioned prior was the largest group. And then the one that you're talking about was the second largest group, I remember.
I think the dorm room one was at least 10 people.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It was and, the yeah, largest right,
it was,
group.
It was big. Because I remember I had to buy lunch for everybody on Sunday because everybody had spent their money.
I think we had about 7 people. Do you remember what that was? It like the anniversary for D&D was like the 30th or the 40th anniversary?
I believe it was the 30th. I believe it was the 30th. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it was the 30th, or it could have possibly been the 40th, but I want to say the 30th.
No, I think it was the 30th because I think we got T-shirts that year too, and I think they say yeah, the 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
So, having said that, I want to shift to Artemagnus and ask him this question. And so everyone else can be thinking about their answers. But Artemagnus, what do you like to do at Gen Con? What's the one thing that when you go, you're saying, I have to do this to feel like I went to Gen Con?
Okay, so again, I haven't been going that often, but ever since I've gone, I'm kind of like a big junkie of old tactical turn-based military games. So I spend the majority of my time at the auctions. I keep an eye out for the auction days, the surprise box days when like people clear out attics or old people die and leave their games and their wives or sons or daughters need to pay for college. And so they like sell everything. I really dig the auctions. I really like last time I went there, I've been looking for a first edition of Close Combat and I found it for like $25. That's like a steal. All the pieces, all original pieces. So that's kind of like the one thing I enjoy. And recently something that I'm going to do this time that I did get to do myself last time was we used to play this video game called Mech Warrior. And we found out that they've been going and they have like these new updated versions of it. And it's just cool to talk about those days when, you know, we were masters and we were highly ranked and it was like such a pivotal moment in our lives growing up that it's very fun to relive that again at Gen Con. So definitely Mech Warrior, the auctions, and I like the costume contest as well. That's about it.
You like just watching the costume contest or are you going to dress this year?
I only dressed up once that I went there. I would love to go, but I don't want to be the only one. You know, like it would have to be all of us doing it. If I did it myself, I would just feel like the jackass of the group, and I refuse to be the jackass of the group.
Well, you know, I actually do dress up every year as the fitting king that I am. Just saying.
Well, hey, I'm down. If you're gonna wear something, I'll wear something. I'll bring something. Too easy.
Okay, everyone heard him.
The next time I go, I will bring my Thor shirt, my costume Thor shirt, and I'll be up there with you guys.
So, Gray Tom, same question. What do you like to do at Gen Con?
For me, it's really about, I mean, the gaming's great, but I really love that convention for it because it's basically a showcase of everything gaming. You name it. There's lots of cosplay stuff, lots of souvenirs and whatnot, but all of the major companies are there to some degree. Fantasy Flight Games is there. Flying Frog Productions is there. Years Past Wizards of the Coast has been there. Paizo's there. Any number of other companies, if they're doing new games, old games. So just I really like walking through that convention center and just seeing everything that's available, everything that's new that's coming out, being able to sit down and do demos. Try games out. That's really where it's at for me. So that's really what I focus on because it's just a great experience to be surrounded by all of this. Whereas a lot of times I can see it online. My local game store has some of the products, but you can't really break open the box and start playing something. Meanwhile, there's demos, tables set up all over Gen Con. They've got their entrepreneurial corner where it's just new companies that are just now debuting at Gen Con for the first year. That's cool to see. What's new? What are they doing that's different? You know, what new game systems are going to be out? what new expansions, and then is there a new game I want to try out? You know, my introduction to deck building games was at Gen Con. I didn't know what a deck building game was. We sat down and did a demo of one. Really enjoyed it. So for me, it's really walking that convention floor and just meeting people, talking to them, and just perusing, you know, all the books, all the systems, and all the games that are available.
Okay. Okay. Get it. Kirby, you?
I'm probably going to be a little bit the same with Grey Tome. I also like walking the floor and seeing all the new stuff. As years gone by, I've kind of switched from avid, you know, role player to almost more of an avid board game player. So seeing all the new board games that are coming out and kind of talking to the actual people that have made the games and trying to get, you know, frequently asked questions or, you know, questions brought up as far as that I've had over the course of the year answered finally, you know, as a, you know, one-on-one as opposed to trying to wait for emails or responses for that. But I'm also a little bit of an artist, and I was like the artist alleys all the time. I thought that that's something I really like to go through too. And years past, I know a couple of them used to do character sheets that were custom that had artwork on them of characters that were elves and dwarves and stuff like that, which I picked up and I thought were really cool. But for the most part, I'm pretty much the same with Grey Tome as far as like the showcase floor is probably one of the big things for me. I also think that in years, the reason why I went to Gen Con too was just because of you guys, you know, just because I only got to see you guys once a year and, you know, gaming with you guys, role-playing with you guys, that was a big drive for me to go to Gen Con. You know, getting playing games with, you know Ray running, or Ed running, or even Tony running, and even I'm running a game too. It was just really cool to play with you guys because I only got to play with you guys once a year. So, but that was my big things for Gen Con.
Okay, and I do remember those character sheets. I think I still have an unopened pack myself for probably third edition D&D. But Buck, go ahead and answer the question.
I would say probably the most significant thing that I've experienced is meeting writers at Gen Con. One of the first fantasy series I ever read was Dragonlance Chronicles, and originally I just thought it was a trilogy. I was walking around a booth, and I saw that there was a part four. I picked up the book. I didn't know about this. I was kind of leafing through it, and a woman walked up to me and said, "Oh, have you read the other three?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a big fan." And it was Margaret Weiss, you know, one of the writers of Chronicles. And she ran and grabbed Tracy Hickman, and they were both very nice, very friendly, and, you know, they signed my copy, and, you know, I bought part four. And then last year I ran into another writer who teaches classes on writing, and it was nice to talk. Like, he spent an hour with me. He raffles off his time sometimes, so he was very generous with his time, and I learned a lot from him. The one thing, though, I think as a group that we've been missing out on is the actual gaming aspect of Gen Con. And I think that part of us got turned off because we ran into some pretty crappy games in the past. NASCRAP, if anybody knows that, I'm sure that'll, you know. But I had this sense that the convention is nice, and I think I would appreciate it more if I could actually, you know, for those of you who don't know, I'm visually impaired, so I can't read textbooks. I can't read, like, actual, like, hardcover books. And I don't know anyone locally that games, so it's almost pointless for me to buy these games and bring them home. So I feel in a sense that just hanging out in the convention center is like being at Disney World and just hanging out at the gift shop. So this year I wanted to make a point to try to get into some events, and we signed up for, I think we got into four games. So we'll see how that works out. But I think it's, you know, hanging out with friends that I only get to see once a year, and talking to some writers, and hopefully getting to experience some games this time around.
And I have to agree both with Buck and Kirby. To me, it's always been about the friends. It's been the tradition that we all go there. And, you know, sometimes we may get on each other's nerves. You know, I mean, we're friends. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, some people can't afford to eat Swedish fish and drink Mountain Dew without wigging out, or some people sit on other people's posters. So I love the fact that there are so many memories that I have with my friends. And like I said, as I get older and I'm in a different state, it's kind of hard to meet new friends. So I actually look really forward to Gen Con, which is a great segue into the next question. And this is going to be for Kirby to take us off. Is describe your most memorable moment at Gen Con.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I've had a few. I know that there was the first year I was there, and you're gonna laugh, Ed. But I got to meet my childhood hero Buck Rogers for the first time because they had a bunch of.
I remember
gold.
That. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah,
I remember
and,
that too.
Everyone, and I'm gonna clear the air on this. Everyone thought I was starstruck, and I kind of was. But when he said hi Kurt, how are you? Everyone thought I had thought because you know how do you know my name? But the way he said it to me reminded me of how my uncle calls me that. You know, just the tone of his voice and stuff like that. So that's what threw me off. But yeah, they had some really cool people there. Mark Singer was there, and they had you know people from Buck Rogers, which you know that was my favorite show when I was five. And I just brought me back to that. That was probably one of my favorite moments at Gen Con was meeting those people. I think second best would be just like all the games that like we have ran, like Tony, myself, and you know Artemis Magnus, Ray has run. Just being able to be within those games, I think those are all you know my favorite too. Just you know, running those. I mean, when I ran the Lone Guardian and some of my other mutants and mastermind stuff, it was just a good time.
Okay. I thought you were going to throw in the Ed factor there, but, you know, shameless
oh, that's,
plug.
That's every game we play. That's just a given with the Ed factor. I actually, when I'm playing with you, I count on that a lot of times.
Great, Tom. How about you? What's your most memorable Gen Con moment?
It definitely centers around one of my most cherished possessions, and that's my collection of autographed books. Got to echo what Brian said. Meeting the authors is phenomenal. And that's a collection that I have started back in 1999. And it was at Gen Con in 1999 that I first met Timothy Zahn. He had written a series of Star Wars novels, the Heir to the Empire series. He just recently wrote one, Thrawn. Unlike Kurt, it was a case where I was definitely starstruck by meeting this author that I just couldn't quit raving about his books to all my friends. And he signed the book, and I couldn't dig up the courage to have him sign the other two. Fortunately, last year, 2016, I saw him again at another convention, and I happened to mention, I'm like, I met you in 1999, and you signed the first book in this trilogy. I'd really be honored if you'd sign the other two, and he did, and so we talked a little bit about that, but that's definitely goes down as one of my most memorable times, you know, meeting the authors, but really that one, that's what started that collection of autographed novels that pursuit with over years later at Gen Con. I would wait in lines to meet authors like Margaret Weis, Tracy Hickman, R.A. Salvatore to get their books autographed so I could build that collection up just because these books are important to me. These stories are such a great thing to me. And it all started in 1999 at Gen Con in Minneapolis with Timothy Zahn signing my copy of Heir to the Empire. So it's one of the best memories I've got.
Okay. Buck? How about you? What's your most memorable Gen Con moment?
So what I've mentioned before, meeting Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman. I think talking to that author, Maxwell Alexander Drake, last year, that was another memorable thing. I think like every writer needs to run into somebody that doesn't tell you like, oh, it's you know, just look for inspiration. And it'll, you know, you need someone like writing is hard work. And you need someone to kind of tell you that and kind of set you right instead of this like flowery stuff that you hear from a lot of people. And he's definitely good at that.
And you're good at that too, by the way.
I try not to be mean, you know, but I also think that that one NASCRAG game that was pretty memorable and ridiculous at the same time. And I would also say that Cosplay Deviants, that was another pretty so let me set the stage for this. Like, I had no idea what Cosplay Deviants was. I didn't know what it was. And Tony was gonna run a Mutants and Masterminds game. And
I spent a lot of time on that game.
I know, Tony, I apologize. I regret okay. skipping on it. But this is what we're gonna Nick says he was gonna go to this Cards Against Humanity game for Cosplay Deviants. But I've never heard of Cards Against Humanity, I didn't know what it was. And I didn't know what Cosplay Deviants is, but it was like, well, you know, it's a Saturday or a Friday night. You know, me and Chris decided to go with Nick. And so we're waiting in line, like, to get in. And there's some of the weirdest people I've ever met in a line in my life. I mean, just creepy, weird, just kind of odd people, whatever. So what it would, like, if you don't know what Cards Against Humanity is, somebody, like, has a, like, one person has a card. And it'll say something like, Batman's pastime is. And then a bunch of other people have, like, answers, and in whatever answer is the funniest, that's the one that wins. So what they did, they had these girls on stage that had answers on their t-shirts, and the one that got picked, the girl would take off her t-shirt. Now, she wasn't completely nude, she had like pasties on underneath, but it was just weird and icky and bizarre, and like me and Chris couldn't wait to get out of there. And I totally regret not playing Mutants and Masterminds. Now that sounds weird that like there were naked women or semi-naked women, and I would prefer to play like a comic book role-playing game, but if you were in that situation, I think you'd probably understand where I was coming from. So I'd say that those are my the ones that stand out the most at this point, at least.
Yep, Gray and I just had to hang around the hotel room by ourselves because people were off doing Cosplay Deviant. Okay,
you watched Flashpoint, didn't we, Ed? To DC Flashpoint, didn't we watch that night?
That is correct.
Yeah, because that starts off, you gave me a hug, and you're like, you're going to need this, man. Because that's a pretty rough DC story. There, so. But I digress.
Artemagnus, your turn.
Oh, man. Okay, so you're not going to believe this, but I have proof of this. I actually have video and pictures, which I can give you if you want to post them somewhere. But there was a Gen Con. Sure. I went, and it was the year that William Shatner had wrote the Tech Wars series. A lot of people don't know this, but he wrote Tech Wars, right? William Shatner, good old Captain Kirk. And I wanted to meet him. Like, I like the Tech Wars series. I like the main character. And I was convinced I'm going to have William Shatner sign my book. The one book that was my favorite one. So I waited in line. And it was really, I don't know if you know this, but like waiting in line for William Shatner and paying to see him for 10 minutes is expensive. But I managed, you know, I was pretty broke when I was younger, but I managed it somehow. And I wasn't that young. I was like 20 something. And I went, I waited in line, and I was like third to like I was like third in, like I waited and waited. And then I was the third one away from about to meet him. And I guess William Shatner was tired. And so this guy's like about to leave. And I'm just like, this is freaking unbelievable. Like, okay, if you know me, I'm first of all, a very impatient individual, more so in my 20s. And to hear that I waited over an hour and a half to meet William Shatner, and I could see him right there, I could hear his voice. I'm like all like anticipating to meet him, and he's tired, and he doesn't want to meet any more people. And so I was like, what? This is crap. And there's a girl behind me, two, three girls behind me. She was complaining too, and she looked just like the green alien from Star Trek. Met her, she was upset. Hooked up with her, and I had sex with her the last 3 days of Gen Con. So that's like my best story, because I got to have sex with the green chick from Star Trek while she was still in the green makeup. It was pretty hot, I'm not gonna lie. True story, I swear to God. Stick a needle in my eye. Totally true. I have pictures, like naked pictures of her too.
Okay. So.
Was this in another dimension? Because I don't think we've been to Gen Con without you, Ray.
I went to two Gen Cons where I did not go with you guys, where I wasn't aware that you guys had even gone. This was in 1998 and I think 2001 was the other one. And I think this was 98. I remember because it was right before I went to Marine Security Guard School, before I got stationed with Camp David. And yeah, so I actually got to go to the Gen Con, and I caught like the last two. I got there on the third day, on the second day. So I caught that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I left that Sunday. So yeah, that's a true story. I have pictures and everything. It's really great. Yeah, true story.
Disclaimer, I'm not posting pictures of a naked Star Trek chick. That being said, I just want to add that my
most family website.
Right. My most memorable Gen Con story was, I don't remember what year it was, but I remember it was the 1 year that I actually tried to do their little scavenger hunt. And I went along and, you know, went to all the booths, and you got to roll the big dice in order to win a prize. And I remember we always do, we go to, what's that pub that has the Tarrasque burger?
Oh, the Ram.
The Ram. We went to the Ram, and I remember when we went to the Ram, I asked the lady, the sign says, ask about the Gen Con special, and she gave us each cards. And then I remember on the last night, on the last day when we were going to get our prize for our roll, I looked at the card and it said, turn this in and you can bypass the line. So I was like, oh, that's cool. So we gave her the tickets, and then we got to bypass the line, and the people were yelling at us, they're cheaters, they're cheaters, they're cheaters. And so I remember, I think it was third edition or 3.5 book was coming out. And I said, I would like to get the 3.5 for my roll. He said, well, you don't have enough points. You didn't complete anything. I said, well, you know what? I'll roll the dice, and however it falls, it falls. And I rolled the dice, and I rolled a 20. And I must have jumped so high because I was so happy. And I got a free 3.5 handbook. So
that's a pretty good story. I like that. That's much better than my alien sleeping story.
Yeah,
it's not every day you can roll a 20.
That disclaimer thing about the tickets, that was on the bottom of the menu that they had specially made for the Ram.
It wasn't announced. You noticed that at the table when we were eating dinner, and asked, what's this note on the bottom of the menu, which is why nobody else caught it, or very few people did. You picked it out and got us all the cheating ticket.
It was fun.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I'll never forget that because we got a lot of boos and cheers up for that too.
Because it was such a long line too, right? Such a long line.
You know, it's the last day, the line's long, and we just went right to the front of it. So.
I have to say, it's really unfortunate that cell phones weren't around that time. Think about how much more footage we would have if like we had cell phones and stuff. Like, I really do regret, if there's a regret on Gen Con, it's by far us not taking enough pictures or video. I have a few Polaroids here and there, like I said, but like, I just wish that like we had cell phones and we had could have really Facebooked or MySpace did or whatever it is that their kids are using now.
Well, I wish I had my pictures because I the first couple of years that I went, I used to buy disposable Polaroid cameras and like took all different pictures and of all the different things, like all the different displays and, you know, booths and you know, and stuff like that. I wish I would be able to find those pictures. I think I lost them in the move.
Well, just a plug for Evolving RPG is we do have a gallery section, and we're actually going to start putting up the pictures because we have some pictures up, but you're right, we don't have a lot of pictures. But, you know, another shameless plug, there's a picture of me kneeling before the Drow Queen in kingly armor. But final question that I have written out, and this is going to go to Greytone. Tell us, what do you dislike the most about Gen Con?
Well, I'd say the first thing that comes to mind was something that I was actually just talking to Kirby about just before we started the podcast. And it has to do with the crowds. Gen Con has gotten more popular over the years, exponentially so. I think attendance was over 60,000 attendees last year. It's made it difficult to get a hotel downtown. It's made it difficult to find parking. You know, it's great that it's this popular because I know it's going to be there, but it does at a certain point. And Gen Con has expanded out. I mean, it's, you know, they're moving into other buildings and other hotels around the convention center. Their whole writer symposium is in, I think it's the Hyatt, I want to say, or the Marriott, one of the attached hotels. That whole Writers' Emporium has been moved out of the convention center and over there. So they're doing the most they can, but it would just be the amount of crowds now. You know, earlier on in the early 2000s, late 90s, when we were going, it was busy, but it wasn't packed. You know, it hadn't really taken on. It was still kind of a smaller convention. But obviously, you know, there was some worry about, was it going to be able to continue? And there was a period of time where, you know, I was worried about Gen Con because they did have to file for bankruptcy at one point. You know, at one point there was Gen Con Indianapolis. They had Gen Con in London. They had Gen Con SoCal in Southern California. And then they had the Gen Con Star Wars show. All three of those went away, and only Gen Con Indy remained. It was the last one, and there was a period of time where I thought, the show's going to go away. It's going to, this convention's not going to be there anymore. But thankfully, it's kept going. But the downside of that would be the crowds for me. If I got to say any downside, it would be that.
And I just want two things. One, I want to add that I think Gen Con Cali was what Ray went to, Art of Magnus went to. And the second thing is that I actually read somewhere that they're going to have a replica of the original Gen Con stadium this year to, I guess, give people an idea of how big Gen Con was.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you know, it's kind of late. We may address this, but I mean, people do know that Gen Con, well, I guess to explain to people who may not be 100% familiar, is that this started out as the Geneva Convention. You know, it was the TSR convention up in Lake Geneva. Up in Wisconsin, and the names kept, and then eventually moved to Milwaukee in here. So it's, I would be interested to see, because it was going on for years before I ever got involved with it. So I'd be really interested to see what that original one looked like.
Okay. Buck, how about you? What do you dislike the most about Gen Con?
I think most of the problems that I had with Gen Con when I first started going have been resolved in the move to Indianapolis. For those of you who didn't ever go to Gen Con when it was in Milwaukee, after like 6 o'clock, it was really hard to find anywhere to eat. There was just like a sense of unwelcomeness. I remember there was a station wagon with Bible verses painted on the side of it and speakers on top, and they would just go around and tell us how we were all going to hell because we played role-playing games. And so I think the last time I went to Gen Con in Milwaukee was 2002, and I think that might have been the last year it was in Milwaukee. And I didn't go again until 2014. I think it was 2014 in Indy, and it was a world of difference. I mean, there's actually places to stay. The restaurant stayed open late. They, like, some of the hotel workers were dressed in like medieval costumes and stuff. Obviously, they wanted us there because they wanted our money. I would say that probably recently, like, we playtested D&D. I don't know, you probably remember this. It was me, you, and me, Eddie, and Chris in line to playtest D&D. So we're waiting in line for like an hour to get there. And they asked us how many people we had. We said 3. And when we got near the front of the line, they said, well, we only have spots for 2. It's like, well, it would have been nice if you would have told us that 45 minutes ago. So Chris went off on his way. And then we sat at the table, and they had us sign up for – we had to like go on this website and sign up for this email list before we could play the game. Now, it would have been nice if they would have told us that while we were waiting in line for an hour. And then we played the game, and the DM was good, but the story was, you know, we had to go to a farm to help somebody make dye. It was just, I don't know, I just thought it was kind of lame, and this is Dungeons & Dragons. This is the company that, you know, kind of started this whole thing. And I just think a little bit more effort and a little bit more organization would have been better, but I don't know if that's Gen Con's fault or just an individual company's fault. I guess that's... You know, like we've run into some bad DMs, but this is just the way it is. Like a game kind of hinges on the person that's running it. So I think unfortunately we've stumbled into a couple bad ones. But other than that, like I think a lot of the problems I've had, the technical problems, have been kind of taken over by or remedied with its move to Indianapolis.
Okay, Art of Magnus, what do you dislike the most about Gen Con?
You know, I'm going to tell you, I think it's just, again, the elitist in me. It's all the muggles that go to the game, that go to Gen Con. It's almost like Comic-Con.
I'm sorry. Did you say muggles?
Yeah, the muggles. The people that really aren't into role-playing games and are going because they want to like meet celebrities or they want to do something like along those lines. I never understood that. You know, that's what Comic-Con. I remember when Comic-Con used to be like the thing for like nerds and geeks, and it was like this thing. Now it's more movie trailers, and it's more, I mean, I think they only sell like 10% of things at Comic-Con is actual comics, and Gen Con is going in that direction. I understand it's money. You know, I understand it's an economy. It's a business, so to speak. But that, it'd be terrible if that happened. I mean, it's already happening. I mean, what kind of Gen Con doesn't have an exhibition booth for Dungeons and Dragons? Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's sad. Like, we went to the last one and they weren't even there. They didn't even have a freaking booth. How does Dungeons and Dragons not have a booth at Gen Con, the biggest role-playing extravaganza in the world?
You know? That's not Gen Con, though. That's Wizards of the Coast.
Well, I know, but I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it shouldn't matter. Like, and the fact that a lot of the role-playing is going towards Magic the Gathering, I still hate that. I think that shouldn't even be allowed to be at Gen Con. I think that a lot of the little stupid board games that they play there, that they should have like their own section away from the convention or something like that. Gen Con should be for purists, role-playing, auctions of role-playing games. It should be what it was when it started, like Gary Con. Like Gary Con is cool, all right? And Gen Con is starting to become this place where people go because it's kind of like the, oh, I want to say I was there, and you know what I mean? It's just sad. And I don't mind the crowds. I like the crowds. I've always liked people. I've liked the crowds. I like the situations that happens. I like that some people feel comfortable there that are not, would normally not be comfortable in crowds. So I get that. I love it all. But I could really do without all of the demoing of certain board games or the demoing of certain things that are not RPG related to me. I don't know. It's just my opinion, just for me personally. So I try to avoid that kind of area at Gen Con, which covers about half of the exhibition hall. But yeah, that's what it is for me.
Okay. And then we're going to segue right into Kirby. What do you dislike the most about Gen Con?
Oh, well, I would have to say, I mean, as far as besides the crowds, because, I mean, well, you know, when it gets starts, it can be Saturday or Sunday. It starts to get a lot of people in there, and I tend to be people claustrophobic. So a lot of times with that, I tend to dislike that as far as being, you know, kind of like, you know, bumper to bumper with people trying to get through the convention hall and stuff like that. Just, you know, there tends to be aromas and things that happen toward the Saturday and Sunday that aren't so great. With that also, I have to say, like, sometime I think it was probably my own fault too. Some of the time frame on a couple times that I went to Gen Con. I mean, we wanted to try and do this as a group one year, and so we all did group things as far as we wanted to go paint miniatures one time. We wanted to do this and we wanted to do that. And I specifically remember that I always, and I said before, one of the things I really like to do is walk the convention floor and look at, you know, the new board games or the new role-playing games or stuff that's on the convention floor. And we were there Wednesday, I think, and the thing opened on Thursday. And by the time it got to Saturday, I really hadn't even walked the floor. And I remember telling one of the people that we were with that, you know, he had seen the floor already, and, you know, that was a valid reason. I'm like, well, I haven't seen it. So I did want to, you know, so that might have been on my own part as far as, you know, not liking Gen Con for that particular thing. It's because I didn't get a chance to do that. But I mean, I guess, like I said, I think the crowds toward the end is the biggest thing for me. It is all forms of gaming, and that's what it celebrates in Gen Con. It's not just for the role players. I know role playing was a big thing to start out with, but it's for all games, you know, all shapes and sizes too. And then once I celebrate that, I am glad that they got some of the video games out of it though. I think it's more, you know, towards, you know, the board games than the role playing games. So, but that's all I have to say on that.
And I find that very interesting, because first Art of Magna says, I don't like the board games. And then you say, well, it's for all games. Board games should be in it, but not video games. And you probably would have somebody say, well, you know, video games have role-playing aspects. So, you know, it's, I think I agree with the statement. It is morphed into a convention for gamers. And depending on what you consider a gamer, because that term now, I think, the young millennials will probably think it's video gamers, whereas some of us Gen Xers or older will say it's the tabletop role-playing game. So it just really depends on your perspective. What I do have to say is that what I dislike the most about Gen Con, and this really, I'm not trying to take a dig at my friends, but I just want to let you know that it can be very difficult to put the convention together as far as securing the hotel and the housing,
Oh,
because
I agree.
if you're not on that and you don't have a place to stay, you really can't go to Gen Con. So it can be
Yeah.
very stressful to actually make sure that you meet the dates and you register and that you get on their crappy system, because it is the most crappiest system to get a hotel room. I don't understand the amount of money they have to be making off the convention center. They should have a better system in place. So that part is really frustrating, and that's what I really dislike about Gen Con. Second thing I dislike about is that I hate that Sunday, because on Sunday I usually feel like I'm rushed, I'm trying to see the last little bit of things, and then I'm like, how did Gen Con get over with so quick? It's like you blink your eyes and it's Sunday. So I hate that, you have to leave. And I want to go back to one more story, the previous question I had, the previous one about memorable ones. Was that normally at Gen Con, and it kind of ties into this question, what I dislike, you have a lot of panhandlers. And sometimes I get, annoyed just because sometimes, I do feel guilty. You do want to give them a couple of bucks or something, but then sometimes you're thinking, like, is this person just playing a game on me? But I remember, I want to say maybe 2 years back, I was dressed up in my king outfit. And I was walking back, and this guy was a panhandler, and he looked at me and said, "My liege, can you please spare alms for the poor?" And I never saw a panhandle role play before, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
That
So I told him,
was pretty cool.
I said, "Look, buddy, I said, when I come back, I promise I will give you something. I have no change right now." But I just had to remember that because that was my memorable moment. But that is all the questions I had. So what I would like to do is give everyone a couple of minutes that if there's something else you want to add or something you thought of that we didn't discuss that you could jump in. I will start off first by giving the floor to Artemagnus.
Oh man. Okay. All right. So, man, no, let me see. I don't know. I guess I just want to say that I really look forward to going to Gen Con every year. I really do. And it's not just because of Gen Con, it's because of my friends. It's interesting. I tell this to my wife, right? Or I'll tell this to other people that I'm friends with now, that I'm cool with. And you really come to realize how rare it is to still be talking to the people and doing something with the same individuals that you knew when you were in high school. I mean, that's crazy, and we're also ethnically different. I mean, none of us went to the same high school. None of us grew up in the same neighborhood. None of us, not another, none of us. And I just find it so interesting that it's like a movie, right? Like when you think of like those guy movies, when you see like The Room, or you're thinking of the Hangout or the Hangover or something like that. That's us, except instead of going to Vegas and enjoying women and strippers, we're enjoying RPG,
Magnificent Seven.
and it's but that's
Yeah.
what it is, man. It's so freaking cool. And I think I took it for granted kind of early in my life, but then as I'm older and I talk to people don't have that. Like my brother, like for example, when I tell my brother, he's like, "You still talk to them?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "That's crazy." My wife is like so jealous that I get to do this. She knows that it's like guy time. It's like a guy adventure for me. Now I haven't been married very long or anything, but I just look forward to like going and like save, I save for this event all year. I get crazy when I go there. Like I do what I want. I buy what I want. Like, you know, and because I was not able to do that when I was younger, you know, God bless Brian, Jack, his little brother, and Eddie, you know, who really like have covered for me throughout the years. And you could tell anyone that whenever we go have dinner, they don't pay for anything. I'll be more than happy to, because it's the least I can do for that. And I don't know if I've ever gotten a chance to say that to you guys, but thank you, man. I mean, a lot of the best memories are from really just you humble me, because you know, it was your niceness and your charity that, you know, because I was much poorer, you know, I was kind of like the downright kid who really didn't have a job, didn't do anything. And now it's much different. You know, I mean, I'm retiring in Hawaii. I'm going to make more money retired than I am working. That's ridiculous. And it's awesome. I look forward to it. It puts a smile on my face. I'm just excited waiting to go to Gen Con so I could see you guys, you know, and just feel like I'm a child in high school again, because I felt I missed out on a lot of things with you guys, and I get to experience that. So that's all I want to say. I just want to say that I look forward to it, and I want to say thanks. That's all.
No, I want to jump on what Ray was saying. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, no, maybe 3 years ago. We got on the bus that was taking us back to the hotel room. So there's like 100 people on this bus. And there was a big argument over whether or not R2-D2 should have gotten a medal at the end of the first Star Wars movie. So this is the thing that's awesome. There was no one on that bus that rolled their eyes, that laughed at us. It was like a serious discussion. And I was like, where else in the world are you going to run into that? And also hopping on like what Ray said, like how we're, you know, all from different backgrounds and stuff. You know, it's the similarity that's more important to us than our differences. Like our love for, you know, role-playing games and science fiction and comic books and fantasy and all that, like, supersedes any ethnic kind of superficial difference. And that's what makes us such good friends. And also to the point, like I know it's like a guy thing and all that, but my family is coming this time. You know, my wife and kids they're going to hang out in Indianapolis the first 3 days. And then Sunday they're actually going to come to the convention. And I signed my kids up for two events on Sunday. So I'm trying to corrupt them so I could actually have a gaming group back at home, because I know, like, in my 20s, it was fine, you know, sitting around at a bar and, you know, whatever. It's like staring at a TV screen and watching ESPN highlights over and over again. But I find gaming much more engaging and much more interesting. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of people to do that with. So Gen Con is a great time to celebrate that with people that got me into this hobby. And, you know, I look forward to it every year, and hopefully it gets better as the years go by.
Well, consider yourself very fortunate that your family is going. I keep trying to get my wife to go, but she's like, you know, that's your time with your friends, and I don't want to spoil that. And one time, I have to tell this story. I almost got her to play D&D. She actually wanted to roll up a paladin. And I made the mistake that I was working on the adventure, and I asked someone to show her how to play, and they turned her off to the game. I will forever live with that guilt, because now she says, I do not want to play that game.
Okay, I have to interrupt, because on the matter of wives going role-playing, I know it's kind of off subject, but it has to do with what we're talking about. So I just kind of came out of the closet with, like, role playing, right? Like, I have like a persona that I maintain at work, right? If you saw me at work and the way I am now, it's like day and night. I'm like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde by far. And it wasn't until recently that, as I got older and really late in my career, and I'm really high rank, that I don't really care what people think, because I can just tell them to shut the hell up, right? And it's something that I just kind of like came out to my wife on. Like, this happened a few years ago, obviously before I married her, but as we're married and we're together more often, and I don't even hide it at all now. Like, now it's like she hates it. She hates role playing because it takes so much time of my time away from her. And when I had heard that Brian was taking his family, I thought it was cool. It doesn't bother me, you know, like, whatever. But then I was like, man, I wonder if my wife would want to go. So I had asked her, and I kind of got the same response you did. Ed, you know, it's like time for your friends. I would feel weird. And I'm like, you shouldn't. I go, I didn't largely ignore you anyway. You'd just be following me around like a poodle. But, you know, I just find it interesting that I would not want to have my wife play any type of D&D game with me, even though, because she's an actress, and she can do about 6,000 different voices and accents, I do use her for villains and voiceovers on Roll 20 and stuff like that. So I do use her for that, but me personally would never want to role play or play in the same table as my wife. I don't know if that's weird, but that's just me.
I think this could be a future topic.
Yeah, it totally could, because I think there's a lot of opinions about it. So yeah, just I had to throw that in there because, you know, I know my wife's going to be looking forward to this podcast, and I just wanted to throw in a little thing for her there.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off just real quick. Like, admittedly, this is not a hobby for everyone. You know, like I remember trying, if you try to explain to people that have no idea what the hell role-playing is, and you like, you know, my example is like, imagine a choose-your-own-adventure novel, but instead of just going left or right, you can go up or down or dig a hole or do whatever you want. And you could just see that they're like, they have no idea what you're talking about. And I think the idea of pretending to be something is a little off-putting to people that don't know what it is. So there's a stereotype that we're sitting around doing accents and wearing wizard hats and doing these goofy things when, you know, obviously that doesn't happen. But to, like, you know, a muggle, to use like Raid's terminology, it's, they really have no frame of reference outside of what they're hearing from the mainstream, like of what this is. So it's just weird and off-putting. And I can see where someone would not find, you know, pretending to be a knight fighting goblins like as entertaining as maybe I would. You know, it's just the way it is.
Well, in the case of my wife, she actually read through all the classes and then said, oh, well, I like this paladin. This seems like a good class to play. Now, how rare is that? This seems like a good class to play. But the person who I asked to show her the ropes was just so, I mean, they basically broke the cardinal rules of ushering a new player into the game. And I have some fault to blame, too. I shouldn't have been so busy as prepping as the DM that I should have did that myself, especially if I wanted her to get a play. But once again, this is a topic for another day. I think family into role-playing games, I think we could talk a lot about this. But I want to give both Kirby and Greytome a chance to weigh in on any final thoughts.
You want to go ahead, Greytome?
Oh, no problem. No problem, Kurt. Well, first off, I got to give a big shout out for many years to Ed. You lining up the hotel rooms, making sure Gen Con happened, that was taken care of. When you moved away from Chicagoland, Brian, kudos to you taking over the reins of that, because I know that is a huge responsibility. You know, it's a financial responsibility, not to mention the logistical planning of putting everything together and making sure everything's kind of lined up. So you kind of took the reins from Ed and kept that running and really kept the group going. But I definitely do look forward to it. I really got to kind of echo what Ray said, where, you know, these are friendships I've had with you guys for years. You know, you've known me a good chunk of my life. Most
decades.
Of that. Decades, yeah. These are friendships that span decades. And the memories at Gen Con span decades. Just recently, Facebook did one of these things where it's like, you know, your memories of the last couple of years. And I normally don't post those things. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm really not into them. But that particular one had a bunch of group shots, and they were all group shots from various years at Gen Con with us, going back to, I think, 2000 or 2001 or an early one in Milwaukee at the Mecca Convention Center they have up there in Milwaukee. You know, so it's been something, it's always been a joy to go. It's been a great time to see all my friends and to really get involved in this hobby. And I have the fun, you know, there was one year where me, Ed, Dick, and Kurt were going, and I was driving. So I was living up way north, so I was going to drive everybody there. And I was chugging along, and I had to pick up in order. I had to drive down, pick up Ed, then get Nick, and then Kurt, and we were going to go to Indianapolis. So as I'm going through the various stops, I'm texting as we're going, and we're telling this story of this group that is arranged. Ed was the knight, Nick was the rogue, Kurt was the cleric, and we're texting back and forth with this story that we're building up as we're driving to Gen Con, basically this tale that's being told. So it was just a fun little thing I did that really kind of enjoyed. And I got to say, getting there sometimes with the group and just hanging out and talking to everybody, half the fun is the journey there, that drive there. And, you know, we're kind of split from different directions now, so we all can't go together at the same time in the same car, you know. But it's still, it's a lot of fun going. And the trip getting there, it's just there's a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement. And once you get into it, Ed, you're absolutely right. Before you know it, Sunday's there. And Sunday's always a letdown because it's been building up so much. I've had so much fun, so many great memories. And definitely looking forward to it again this year and many years to come. Special thanks to you and Brian for keeping things going over the years and keeping it organized and just making sure it got done. And, you know, definitely looking forward to another Gen Con with all you guys.
Kirby?
I'd also like to say thank you to Ed and also to Buck for, you know, getting all that stuff going for us. I mean, if it wasn't for you guys, there'd be no Gen Con for all of us. And I think we deeply appreciate everything you guys do. And we know how tough it is with trying to get those hotel rooms. And I know my other friends that try to go to Gen Con also, they told me the horror stories of those lines that they have to go through and the internet and all that stuff to get all the rooms and stuff. And I just want to say I really appreciate that you guys do that every year. Thank you. As far as last things I have to say about Gen Con, I do remember another memorable experience I had at Gen Con, and that was there was one time we went, and on the showroom floor they had a gigantic battle against a big black dragon. And I remember that they had set it up where everyone had characters that were like 11th or 12th level, and it was a huge combat with like 6 or 7 people. And I remember we all jumped in there, and the battle took, I would say, at least 2 or 3 hours. We were sitting there, it felt like, and I remember being physically and mentally drained after it was done, but we had defeated the dragon, and we had worked as a team to get it done. And it was just funny how, you know, we talked to the guy later after we had done it, after a couple days had gone by. There was only a handful of people, groups that actually had taken down the dragon, and we were one of them. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I think it sums up with everything at Gen Con. I mean, as far as the friendships go, I mean, that's what I went for Gen Con for initially, and it is to this day. I was gold for you guys, because I only get to see you guys once a year, and most times play with you guys once a year. But now that we're, you know, doing stuff over the interwebs and stuff with the, you know, the D&D now with Tone's game and stuff, just I think that helps out too, as far as, you know, with seeing you guys and all that stuff. Because I'll miss Gen Con this year, but I definitely will have to save some money for next year. But that's why I go, is for the friendships and the games that we play, as far as and we get to play.
Excellent. Well, let me take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for helping me do this podcast. Wouldn't have been as good of a podcast if I didn't have you guys. And I guess I might as well throw in, I'm thankful that you know you guys are my friends. I got some sweat coming out of my eyes right now.
Oh, man. You too, bro.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you guys are all awesome, and I just want to thank you guys for, you know, being there all these years.
And I want to thank everyone who's listening to these podcasts. I appreciate your support. I would like to plug the site again and say, you know, leave a comment. If you're going to Gen Con, leave a comment. You might actually be able to meet some of us at Gen Con because we are going. We would love to snap some pictures with you. I'll probably be wearing my King outfit on Saturday. That's the day I normally wear it. And as you heard on this podcast, if I dress up, Arta Magnus is going to dress up too. So we're going to hold him for that. So once again, you know, thank you, everyone. I appreciate you guys taking the time out of your busy schedule to help create this podcast. And I thank the listeners for taking the time to listen to it. I hope you guys enjoy it. Comment, follow us on Twitter, and take care, everyone.